adjust the camera.
All right, let's pray. I'm going to stand. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to look into your word. Lord, we pray that the word might have free course. It might strengthen us, edify us, might be glorified in our lives. We pray for those who are not here, for those who may have wanted to be here, and for those who couldn't make it. And for those saints who have no concern about your word at all, Lord, we know that you've entrusted us with a great treasure. And like Jerry says, we can't thank you enough, but we're going to keep on trying. And Lord, we just pray once again that the word might have free course and that it might be glorified in us. We ask these things with thankful hearts through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to talk about some more, stick with the process words, the words that end in T-I-O-N. Those are some of the greatest words in Scripture. And I was just running through some of those words last few days. And just to know those would establish you beyond measure. You talk about salvation, it was just that's the package. And sanctification, redemption is what we'll talk about tonight. Reconciliation, glorification, transformation, translation.
Resurrection.
Resurrection. On and on. It's you get about maybe 10 or 12 ones just going through the word. And they all have great impact on how you walk and how you appreciate what God has done. So we're going to look at redemption tonight. And you know we've already been redeemed, right? But we're going to just hopefully we look at this doctrine and use that as motivation for study, for walk, and nothing else, an appreciation for what the Lord has done for us. So we look at this in verse in Romans chapter 3. We'll start there. Paul makes this statement. We'll start at verse 21. He says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And we won't read the next verses, but he says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Right? You agree with that, right? He said we've all missed the mark of perfection. You know, I hear people that say, they use this verse all the time, "Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." You ever heard anybody say that? Well, that's true. If God's holy, he wouldn't permit unholy people in his presence. You remember when he met Moses, he says, "Pull off thy
sandals."
He said, "This is holy
ground."
Well, that's he chose Moses, didn't he? He told him, "You come up here," but he says, "You know, pull off your shoes. This is holy ground." We're talking about us who are sinners. And we come short, right, of the glory of God. But he says we've been justified freely by his grace. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you don't know what redemption means, then Paul, you shouldn't go any farther with Paul. Redemption is to recover, to buy back, or to obtain freedom by payment of a price. So if we had to be recovered, that means you were what? lost or stolen or bought and paid for by someone else. Or if you had to be repurchased by a payment of a price, you belong to someone else. Right? Paul says this, and he says in Corinthians, in Romans 7, he says, well, look at Romans 7. Romans 7, start at we'll start at verse 11. Paul says, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Verse 14. For we know, there's that knowledge again. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, what?
Sold
under sin. He says, well, that's one thing. He says, you've been sold what? So who do you belong to prior to salvation? Who do you belong to?
Sin.
So we think of sin as an act. That's sins with an S. Sin is something that dwelleth in us. That's why Paul can say, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what?
No good thing.
How could he say that? Something got us into a predicament where we were slaves to sin. Right? Genesis chapter 2. Well, we know how it happened, right? But we'll just go back and rehearse it. Your great 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 grandfather.
So it wasn't my fault?
Wasn't your fault. But you prove it. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made grow every tree. To grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we see God, he created a man out of the dust of the earth. He put this man in the garden, the paradise, which was really a headquarters. That's an interesting word, that word planet. Or he put the man, or it says he put the man, he planted the garden, and he put the man there. It was purpose. It was more like there was some activity going on there. He just didn't put him there and say, okay, lounge around. It was like a headquarters. That's what it was intended to be. As a matter of fact, look at verse Genesis 2, I believe it's 2, and verse where he says, verse 2 and verse 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to what? To dress it and to what? To keep it. He didn't mean keep it like keep house, you know, clean up. He meant keep it like guard it, keep it.
Protect.
Right. From who? From what? Something's going on back there that a lot of people don't know about.
Genesis 1:1 and 1:2.
And we can't write. And we don't, that's not our topic, but he's there to guard it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, chapter 3, verse 1, he creates the woman. And now you have the man and the woman there in the garden. And chapter 3, verse 1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the short of the long story is they ate. In verse 14 says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now we see a conflict right there. It doesn't begin right there. It was actually, it began prior to that. Because the serpent came in, and he got his job done. His job was to get into that garden and foil what God had going on there. And he did. And right there, Adam abdicated his position. That's just the big word for he gave it up. He willingly gave it up. He gave up that base. He gave up he was the monarch of the earth. Right there. And he gave it up. Romans chapter 5. And not only affected the possession, it affected everything after that. Because he has a curse on the man, he has a curse on the woman, he has a curse on the earth. The whole thing now needs to be recovered or redeemed. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of what? Of him that was to come. So we say the figure, the type of him who was to come. One man, what they say, one man got you into the mess. One man is coming to get you out of the mess. Hold your hand. 1 Corinthians 15. He says, verse 21. For since by man came death, what man?
Adam.
By man came also the what?
Resurrection.
What man is that?
Christ.
For as in Adam all what?
Die.
Even so in Christ shall all be what?
Made alive.
So you have two representatives. You have one man who sold you out. And he sold, not only did he sell off to the possession, But he sold off the people. To who? To sin and Satan. Well, you have one man here who says, what he sold off, I'll come and get it back. And since by one man all became sinners, who was qualified to buy it back? Who's qualified to redeem the earth? Who's qualified to redeem man? Who's qualified to get us out of the predicament that Adam put us in?
Not a sinner.
Not another sinner. Right. You say, you know what? How can you bail me out when you can't bail yourself out? You starting off with a deficit. You starting off bankrupt. You can't help me. Like the verse in, I think it's John, it says, you shall surely say, physician, what?
Heal
thyself. So you have, you know what? This goes on, and I think Ryan was just talking about it. It was so bad where God, the flood came, and he destroyed the whole earth. Except for one man. That man was Noah. Could he do it?
No.
Why not?
He was the son of the son.
He still had the same predicament. He wasn't able. But he started a new beginning. He had a new beginning with that man. And then he picks out one man, Abraham, forms a nation. They didn't make it either. Look at Exodus chapter 15. He redeems these people out of Egypt, right? He brings them through the sea. We just talked about that, Karen. He brings them out of Egypt, and he wants to put them in this land to be a blessing to the nations. He's going to use these people to recover what was lost. But they have to be what? Redeemed. They have to be redeemed before they can be set apart. And he does. He bought those people out of slavery. Exodus 15, verse 16. You know what? I'll go back to verse 6. He says, thy right hand, verse 6, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. You remember that, right? Coming through the Red Sea. Verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Little g. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest forth thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hath led forth the people which thou hast what?
Redeemed.
Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy what?
Holy
habitation. You know what Adam lost back here? This piece of land? It's no coincidence, as he says, he planted a garden eastward in Eden. And he put the man there. And he told the man to dress it and to keep it. And the man promptly turned around and says, here, Satan, you can have this. He gave it up, didn't he? So God starts off, he starts off with another people, a nation. As a matter of fact, and he said, this is my, he called Israel in another chapter of another book, he said, my servant. Israel's my servant, just like Adam was. And he takes these people, he redeems them out of bondage. And he says, I'm going to take them and I'm going to put you in my what? Verse 13. My what? What's making it holy?
The habitation.
What's making it holy?
Making it God.
God.
Okay.
He says, I'm going to be there.
Okay.
He says, they remember the verse? He says, I'll be their God and they will be my people and I will dwell among them.
Mm-hmm.
He says, holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold upon the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Canaan? That sounds familiar, huh? Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as steel as stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased.
Mm-hmm.
He redeemed those people.
Mm-hmm.
He bought those people back. He recovered those people for himself. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made what? For thee to dwell in.
Mm-hmm.
The sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. So, you know what? And this is the basis where those Jews, you know what? God was going to recover what was lost through that kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to reestablish that kingdom that Adam lost. Adam sold it through sin, through disobedience, and God is in the recovery process, the redeeming process, the buying back process. He's got to buy it back from who?
Satan.
From Satan.
God of
this world. The God of this world, right. Matter of fact, since she said that, look at Matthew chapter 4. And we'll get to us in a minute. But what, you know, Israel, they didn't get it done, did they?
No.
They fell into idolatry and went right back into bondage. Because we just talked about it. Because they weren't what?
Self-qualified.
They weren't qualified. You just hit a bunch of people who were sinners. Right? They couldn't do it themselves because they weren't able to do it. They had a redemption deficit. They couldn't redeem anybody else because they couldn't redeem themselves. Well, keep that in mind. That's Matthew
yeah.
Chapter 4. When the Lord shows up, it's a little interesting encounter. Takes place. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up. This is after his baptism. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be what?
Tempted
of. That's kind of strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Lord tempted no man, or neither can he be tempted. Well, the devil's not a man, but here's the devil doing what? Tempting him.
Doing the devil's work.
And he takes him up into this mountain, and you know what? To tempt him, he's really, you know what? To try him. It's kind of like, you know, You ever seen those, maybe something happened where, you know, maybe you get into a fight, or somebody you see, you get into a fight, and they just kind of size each other up, you know. Like, you know, they kind of walk around and they kind of look at them. I can see the devil doing that, you know. I can see him, he's got Jesus there, and I can see him walking around him like, you him, huh? You're the one? You're the one that's to buy him back? He's beat everybody, right? He beat Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Solomon. Down the line. Next up, here comes the Lord. And he says, okay. And he kind of, he sizes them up. And he sizes them up. And we're not going to get into this passage, but he asks them some questions. He poses some things to them to see if he would pass the test. And he did. And in verse 10, he says, then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, before he does that, and I think Karen mentioned that, the devil makes a statement to him in verse 8. The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. All the what?
Kingdoms.
And showeth them unto him. And showeth him the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I what?
Give thee.
If thou.
Fall down and worship me.
Okay. Well, if he says, all these things I'll give thee, that means what?
He had
something
to give.
He had something to give, didn't he? He didn't have something to give. He had what?
All.
He had all of them to give. How did he get them?
Yep.
He stole them.
He stole them. He did. Well, they were given to him.
Yeah.
And you notice the Lord didn't say, you have no power except. He didn't even argue with them, did he? Because he knew they were his. He had become. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah 31. But we know, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Jeremiah 31. Verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will what? Gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath what?
Redeemed
Jacob and ransomed him from the what?
Hand of him that was stronger than he.
Who's the hand of him that was stronger than Jacob? It was Satan.
Mm-hmm.
He had the nation in the chokehold. He had the world in the chokehold. In Ephesians, Paul said that Satan is the god of this what?
World.
2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Says Satan is the god of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And he blinds the minds of them that don't believe. Ephesians 2, Paul said he's the prince of the power
of the air.
Yeah.
The spirit that now works in what?
Children of disobedience.
The children of. And he's got a course that he's charted out to keep them captive. The course of this world. And we think we function on our own. I remember watching the movie, I can't think of the name of it, Jim Carrey. And they had everything staged. His whole life was staged. Everywhere he went, everything he did, the scenery, the people, everything was, it was, they were watching him on the TV. You remember the name of that movie?
Yeah, I remember the movie, but I can't think of the name.
And They were manipulating all of it. The props, I mean, the people. And every day they do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And he's thinking, you know what? He's functioning like he's got choices. He's making choices, but they're manipulating things behind the scenes to keep him in that set. You still don't remember the name of it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But anyway,
oh, The Truman Show.
Thank you. And finally, he's well, we won't get into that. But anyway, he gets to a point where he wanted to see what's behind this landscape. And when he gets there, they cause a wave, everything to keep him from going. Because if he gets back there, he'll find out that I've been a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
That I've been a pawn. That I've been enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to be free. Most people don't know that they're puppets, pawns, they're enslaved. They need to be redeemed. They need to be ransomed. And we go day to day, you know what? We think that we make our own choices, but we don't know when sin says go, you go. If you're not saved. If you don't have the power to do it, when he says go, you go.
But you think you're in charge.
You're
on top of it all.
That's why Paul said, sin, it deceived me. And by, you know what? By these things, it slew me. And that sin, when he saw it for what it was, it became exceeding sinful. He said, I'm a mess. I need some help. And the only person that can help you is the Lord.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can redeem you. He's the only one that can recover you out of the grip. Somebody's got you. Sin and Satan. You know what Satan does is he knows what you're working with.
Yeah.
He knows you have a deficit.
Mm-hmm.
So he tailors this system to keep you defeated.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called the course of this world. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I don't want you to go back and say Frank said that. And it sticks a little deeper. It sticks a little more when you read it for yourself. Ephesians chapter 2. He says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein, in your trespasses and sins, in time past, ye walked according to the what?
Course of this world.
According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now what?
Worketh
in the children of disobedience. It works.
Mm-hmm.
It's working now.
Mm-hmm.
When you see people, how could he do that? How could that happen? It's something working in those people. Something was working in me when I was unsaved to keep me in bondage. Verse 3, he says, among those unsaved, we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature what? Even as others. You deserved it. You deserve wrath. You know, you're in bondage. And he said, you know, it worked in us. You don't like to recall those days, but you remember those days when you were a slave to sin, don't you? Thought you were free, didn't you?
Yeah.
When I got out of college, I said, you know what? I'm going to go back to Detroit and I'm going to live it up. You know what I mean? Live it up. I'm going to live it up. And came up here and got saved. Well, not up here, but Detroit, and got saved. And at first I thought about it. I said, I don't know just enough to know that I was in bondage before.
Yeah.
And that'll get you, because you think about it, you say, man, I can't do nothing. None of the stuff that I wanted to do. Because, you know what, I realized that I was in bondage to the flesh. I was in bondage to the world. I was in bondage to the devil. And then the Lord comes in. When he frees you, he lets you know you're free. And you just cannot, with a good conscience, go back into the prison camp. So you waffle with that for a while. You're like, man, I had plans for this old body. All it wasn't good for me. But now, you know what? I appreciate my freedom now. I appreciate my redemption that he has obtained for me. But we see that the spirit, it works to keep you in bondage. But we have to be, you know what? Delivered. You have to be freed. In Romans 6, he says, looking back at Romans 6. Romans 6:6. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not what?
Serve
sin. For he that is dead is what?
Free.
You know what sets you free? What will get you out of the bondage? Is death. And he says, but he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. Not only that, and you're free from the law. In chapter 7, Paul says that. You're free from the law. When you trust Christ, you know what? Something happens. What Paul said in chapter 3, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He's got enough to free you. His blood has enough power in it, enough redeeming power in it to free you from Satan, from the flesh, from the law, from the world. You know what Peter says? You know what? It's the precious blood. Hebrews, he says, not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could free you. He said, but this blood can what? It can free you. Why? Because it's not ordinary blood. In Matthew, when Joseph and Mary were, Joseph was kind of debating whether I should do this, the angel said, don't be afraid to take her as your wife, because that what's in her, it's an incorruptible seed. That separates Jesus. That separates him from the rest. Because it's God in that body. The precious blood. Untainted. That's what you need to redeem you. The law of redemption says this. He must be, number one, willing to do it. He must be willing to buy you back. He must be able to buy you back. And he cannot compromise his own situation. You wouldn't find, number one, you wouldn't find anybody willing. You surely wouldn't find anybody able. Because he would surely compromise what? His own situation.
Yeah.
But you have the Lord that steps in. In Hebrews, he says, sacrifice and offerings, I know you don't want them. I would it's not. Because it's not possible for them. They can't do it. They can't free you. He said, but this man, you know what? He put on a body. A body hast thou prepared me. And in that body, he housed the power of redemption in that shell. Looked like a man. Talk. It was a man. One man got you into it. One man get you out. That's how just God is. You know what? He says, nobody could do this but me. Nobody can free you but me. And he puts on a body himself. Look at Luke chapter 1. You know, sometimes you read this stuff and you say, you know what? This can't be. It's almost like a space tale, isn't it?
Fanciful.
Right. But it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
But I mean, it's not a space tale, but the further you get away from that point where you were redeemed, the more you look back and you see how enslaved you were. I mean, it all is true.
It is.
That's what makes it not a tale.
You know? I was thinking how you know it's true, like you said. I know the Bible is right because remember last week you said because I knew me and it told me all about me. you know what I found that really goes a long way. It went a long way with me is nobody has to tell you about you. Nobody. All you have to do is you sit down just a couple of minutes. It won't take that long either. A couple of minutes and you sit down and think about how rotten you are.
Yeah.
And tell me you don't need redeeming.
Oh, man.
Tell me you don't need help. Tell me you're not a slave to sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? Even after you get saved, because he hasn't eradicated this flesh, you still know that I really did need redeeming.
Yeah.
I was a slave. Because that old man, he'll every once in a while, like every day, all through the day, he says, "You're nothing," and you're right. But he says, "Remember when we used to?" And you think, "Yeah, I do." Yeah, and you know what he says?
That's all they call it, stirring up the flesh.
That's all. You know what he says? I don't want to go to Bible study. I want to, whatever you want to do. And he said, he'll just throw suggestions. Remember when you were in bondage? Wasn't it great? And he's like, yeah, it was. No, it wasn't. But he's deceitful like that. And he'll have you, you know what? Thinking about the days. When they got out of Egypt, you know what they said? Would to God we were back in. At least there we had the leeks and the garlic and the onions. You're making brick back there. You were enslaved back there. You were being oppressed back there. And don't we? I can only speak for myself. Sometimes you think about what it was like when you weren't saved.
Mm-hmm.
How much fun you had.
The passing pleasures of sin.
You know what Paul says in Romans? He said, "What fruit had you therein?" And those things where you're now, what?
Ashamed.
We talked about it, you know, in a little circle. We talked about those flesh problems. But that's not something you want to talk about all the time. It's embarrassing. Luke chapter 1. Verse 25. This is shortly after the Lord's birth. Verse 25 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Luke chapter 2. I'm sorry.
Well, I just thought that I did not hear you real good.
I'm sorry. Luke chapter 2. Verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Look at verse 36. I'm just dropping down for time's sake. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that what? In Jerusalem. When they see that this is the Lord as a baby, and they knew by the Holy Spirit that in that baby is what?
Redemption.
Bottled up in the baby. Can you imagine that? But they were looking for this. A swashbuckling hero to come through and do it all. They were thinking about political freedom, political redemption. But the Lord was thinking about what? Spiritual redemption. Jesus, he shall save them from their what? Sins. So you, most people, you know what? And today too, we want to know what we can get out of God. But he's trying to tell you what you need to get out of. And that's bondage to sin. And you can't, if he's going to use you for anything, number one, he's got to free you. Doesn't he? He's got to free you from sin. He's got to get you out of the predicament that you're in. If you want to serve, be of any service to him. Chapter 1, verse 70. I'm sorry, Luke 1. Luke 1, verse 70. He says, verse 69. Well, verse 67.
Verse 67.
And his father, this was John the Baptist's father. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of all his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. What did he say? That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised unto our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. Now this is, Israel thinks he's just coming for them. They're not thinking about how bad off they are. They're thinking of political freedom. But the Lord, like I said, he's on a much broader scale. He's thinking of spiritual freedom. And I think it's another verse in Luke, he says that the man prophesied, and he says, don't you know that it's expedient that one man should die for the nation? You know why it was expedient? Because nobody else could get him out of that mess. That one man is the man they waited for. Now, what Paul says to us, he says this. He says, back to Romans. The Jews thought it was just for them, didn't they? And they were going to come out to us and redeem us and free us. Well, we know how And they didn't reach us. You know why they didn't reach us? Because they didn't have it in them. They didn't have redemption in them. Before he uses you, he has to redeem you, qualify you. Otherwise, you're no good. You're useless to him. That's why, you know what? You don't go try to serve the Lord in your own strength. Like religious people do. They go to church, they get all these committees, all these functions, and after a while it just peters out. Because you know what? Look what he's working with. They haven't been redeemed. They don't have this the fuel, the redemption, that gratitude that a redeemed person has. Because they're doing it in their own strength. Romans 3. He says, but now, 3:21. When Paul says, but now, he says, what was kept secret, he says, now I'm telling you. I'm telling you what the Lord has done. He says, verse 21, he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. And he says in verse 24, that we've been justified freely by his grace through the what?
Redemption.
That is in Christ Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. There's another one of those words. Through faith in what?
His blood.
His blood has the power to redeem us. Only his blood. And it was only because it was whose blood? You sure? You know what he says in Hebrews? That not like the priest who offered the blood of bulls and goats. This, Hebrews chapter 10. This man. Chapter 9. Verse 11 says, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by what?
His own blood.
He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what?
Eternal redemption.
How long is eternal?
Forever.
What is redemption?
Purchasing back,
buying back, freedom by what? Payment of a price. Uh-huh. He got an eternal payment. For you and me and those who believe. Mm-hmm. Eternal redemption. He purchased it.
Mm-hmm.
Through his blood. Didn't it say that?
Yes.
His own blood, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Right.
Having obtained what? Eternal
redemption
for me. Somebody come up to you and say, oh, you can't be saved. I saw you. I heard you. You know what you can say?
Ain't about me.
I didn't free myself. You know, Harriet Tubman said, you know what? She did a great work. And she said, I could have freed a whole lot more people if they only knew what? That they were slaves. And Lord, you know what? The redemption is there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The power to free is there. He said, you know what? I could probably free a lot more if they only knew what?
That they were slaves.
Ephesians chapter 1. Here we go. Wrap it up. Ephesians 1. He says, verse 6, to the praise.
What chapter?
Chapter 1. Okay. And then we're going to go over to chapter 4. He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Is his grace glorious? Mm-hmm. Is his goodness glorious?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, in his glorious grace, he hath made us what?
Accepted.
He hath made us accepted in the beloved. In whom? In the beloved. Who's the beloved? In whom we have what?
Redemption
through his blood, even the what? According to the. Is his grace rich?
Yes.
Wherein in his grace he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Look at chapter 4. And after you see all this, what the Lord has done, he freed you. And you know what? And he freed you to serve. He didn't free you to do what you want to do. He didn't redeem you out of bondage that you might fool around in bondage again. You know, that's like a person with a drug habit, and he gets clean and he goes right back to the drug house, thinking, I'm gonna go there and talk to those people and get them straightened out. No, you're going to end up back in the same predicament because you think that you got clean on your own, but you had some help. That's why Paul says this in Ephesians 4, verse 17. He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. He said, you know what? A great work has taken place in us after we trust him. And that was just two T-I-O-N words that we've covered in the last 2 weeks. But redemption, you have it. It's a possession. You have it. Look at verse 30. Well, you know what? Let's not skip all this. Let's kind of go through some of this. Verse 19, he says, don't walk like the other Gentiles, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have been, if you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Is he not?
Mm-hmm.
And be what?
Renewed
in the spirit of your mind. That's the responsibility of a person who's been redeemed, mm-hmm. is to renew your mind. He says, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. How do I put on the new man, Paul? He says, put away lying, speak every man what? Truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby, by the Holy Spirit of God, ye are what?
Sealed.
Unto the what?
Day of redemption.
Well, wait a minute. I thought I already been redeemed.
Spiritually.
He's got you, right. He's got you out of the bondage of sin. He's got you out of this mastership, out of his dominance. He's got you out of the grip of Satan, out of the course of this world. And he says, now, you know what? Live for me. And he gives you some things that you're qualified to do them, because he says you got the what? You got to put it off, put it on. You got the Holy Spirit. You got them because I gave them to you. I know you got it. And he says, grieve them not. You can grieve them. You know what? He can't go anywhere. He's stuck in this. He's in here. And where you go, he go. Remember that commercial? My buddy, wherever I go, he goes.
I was thinking of Ruth.
But he's in there.
Ruth.
Oh. But he's in there. He's in there to stay. He says, and we're sealed until the day of redemption. Where, you know what? He bought you. When he died for you, he bought you. He says, and one day, I'm going to complete the transaction. Because right now, he owns you right now. Did you know that?
Yes.
He owns us right now. While you drag him wherever we go, whatever we do, he owns you. And he says, one day, that redemption, that I'm gonna complete the transaction. And then we'll really find out what we got when we got redeemed. And what he got when he redeemed us. But until then, we just keep learning about these words that end in T-I-O-N until we grow up in him in all things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the redemption that you purchased for us. We thank you for your word. Lord, we may not even understand all that happened, but as we read more and more, we want to know. We want to know, and we want to know how these things work to our benefit. We want to know how you can use us, how we can be used by you in day-to-day activities. Lord, just to be free from sin is a blessing, but Lord, we want to be magnified. We want you to be magnified in our lives, whether by life or by death, like Paul said. Again, we thank you for the word that's been just a blessing beyond belief, Lord, to look into it with the understanding. We thank you for all those here, Lord. We pray that it won't be just words we read on a page, but the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding, Lord, to help us understand what these things mean and how we can appropriate them in our life and our walk of faith. We thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ, who have purchased this eternal redemption for us. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.